The views and opinions expressed within this podcast do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, advertising partners, or ownership of Forever Communication. The It's All Good podcast, hosted by Lorraine Gossett Jones, sponsored by Baptist Memorial Hospital.
This is Lorraine Jones with 15 minutes of good news, sponsored by Baptist Memorial Hospital. Do we have any empty nesters out there? You know what I mean. Have your kids flown the coop and it's only you and your spouse at home? Or maybe you're a single parent and now you're in the house alone. You know, you get very different responses when you talk to people about having an empty nest. Some say, yes, freedom, I have an empty nest. They're finally gone. But some people break into tears when you even mention it. But most of us are somewhere in between. You know, in the bird world, there are nestlings. That's a bird that's still developing in the nest. It can't fly. It's not yet ready to leave the comfort of the nest, and it has to be fed by its mom or its dad. Then there are fledglings. A fledgling is a bird. It's got its first coat of feathers, and it's capable of moving about on its own. In fact, it kind of hops around on the ground. It can't fly yet, but it hops around. You've probably seen those little birds. It's left the nest, but its parents are usually nearby, listening and watching and ready to render aid if needed. Now, fledgling birds know instinctively when it's time to leave the nest. The fact is, for them, there is no going back. Bird nests are high up in the trees, making it impossible for baby birds to hop back in. Once they jump out, they're on the ground, and they have to learn to find food, fly, get up early, and survive on their own. Now, fledgling humans, otherwise known as 18-year-olds, instinctively long to leave the nest. But sometimes they come back. Now, that's the subject for another podcast. You see, emptying the human nest isn't as simple as emptying the bird's nest, because most kids memorize their address by kindergarten. So now, I've found some quotes from people who have become empty nesters, and then they give their thoughts. One man said, "Now it's just me, my wife, and Buster the dog, and it's a different kind of quiet." One person said, "It's easier to get things done when it's just us, but not nearly as fun." One woman said, "You call it an empty nest. I call it my new craft room." An empty nest is when your fridge finally stays full, but your heart feels empty. One person said, "As soon as your kids are fit to live with, they're living with someone else." One man said, "It's not an empty nest until they get their stuff out of the attic." That's kind of true. And one says, "It happens before you know it. The handprints get higher and higher, and then they disappear." You know, I understand all of these comments far too well. I'm an empty nester. At first, I was an empty nester as a single parent, and that was brutal. I have two sons who are 4 years apart. So as a single mom of two boys, I had a full-time job. I ran a nonprofit cancer agency. I was active in my church. I was involved in many civic and my kids' school activities. My boys played lots of sports and had many outside activities and to be supervised and attended to. We had a really busy household, just like everybody else. We had deadlines. We had club meetings, practices, games. I had to cook meals, do housework. There was the unending laundry, carpooling, getting kids to everything, giving endless advice. I structured my whole day around my children's needs. Sometimes it was just a matter of taking one day at a time, just thinking at night, okay, What papers need signed for tomorrow? What do I need to cook in advance for tomorrow? What practice clothes or game clothes need to be washed? Just simply taking one day at a time and accomplishing little tasks. It was a challenging time. It was chaotic. It was hard. I sure do miss it. When my first son, Tommy, left the house to go to college, even though I still had one at home, everything just felt off somehow. For one thing, I didn't realize that Tommy sort of always made sure that Stevie and I were up and that we left for school on time. Stevie and I always had a little more trouble getting up, and after Tommy left, I struggled getting Stevie to school on time. But after a couple of detentions for tardiness, we got used to it, and we did better. The house was quieter. There were no arguments between brothers, no wrestling matches in the living room. There was more food in the pantry. But I got used to it. I still had one at home. But when that day came, when they were both gone, whew, that was a different story. Something that was just constant in my life for so many years had changed. I felt like I had been let go from the best job I ever had. Now, when Tommy finished law school and he moved from Knoxville to Nashville and he was going to be there permanently, and Stevie finished undergrad and was getting ready to move to Ohio to look for work. And remember, I'm single. He was getting ready to go to Ohio. Tommy was in Nashville. I nearly died. I was lost as a goose. When I knew that they were both not going to be near me, when I knew that I wouldn't be able to physically check on them, I was devastated. And I was single. I was going through this loneliness by myself. And I remember a few days before Stevie was supposed to leave, he'd been packing boxes and I was giving him some pots and pans or something. And he left to stay at a friend's house. And I was home alone thinking and crying and praying. And I was already mourning his absence. I fell asleep crying and praying. And when I woke up, I had a scripture on my heart and in my mind. It was as clear as a bell. God gave me this scripture, and it's from Ecclesiastes 3:1-2. There is a time for everything and a season for every activity under the heavens, a time to plant and a time to uproot. And it goes on from there. But I realized that as sad as I was that they were not going to be in my nest anymore, I was happy for them. I was excited about their future. I had my time to plant in them honesty, hard work, responsibility, love, kindness, and God's word. Now it was time for them to be uprooted, to be pulled out and used as they are intended to be used. Like that bird, you gotta go. You gotta go and make it on your own. And I thought, you know, silly me, I raised them to be independent, self-sufficient, confident, good men. So I had to let them go do it. Because you know what? What's the alternative? They could be 30 years old, unemployed, and playing video games in my basement. You know, praise God, they're not. So I started looking at this stage in my life differently. I sort of changed my perspective. I saw a poster that said, "A mother's job is to teach her children not to need her anymore. The hardest part of that job is accepting your own success." You see, there are two things that we should give our children. One is roots and one is wings. The Bible mentions empty nesters in a few ways, including acknowledging that it's a normal feeling, encouraging people to be thankful, and suggesting that it can be a time to grow and flourish. You know, the Bible tells us to be thankful. In 1 Thessalonians 5:18, it says, "Give thanks in all circumstances." This includes thanking God for the nest season. Don't forget that. Thank God for that season that you got to rock babies and that season when you chased that toddler around and that season that you had so much fun with your teenagers. Thank God for the nest season and thank Him for the empty nest season, whether it be filled with joy or grief. Thank God in all circumstances. And then the Bible tells us to flourish. Psalm 92:13-14 says that those planted in the house of the Lord will flourish and bear fruit. It also suggests that God will watch over children as they mature and over their parents as they open their nest to others. And then, of course, the Bible talks about new beginnings. And the scripture that I mentioned from Ecclesiastes, "To everything there is a season and a time for every purpose under heaven." Certainly, it's a new season for your little fledgling 18-year-old. But this could mean that the empty nest season is a new beginning for you. Your empty nest could be God's opportunity. Think about that. Your empty nest could be God's opportunity. What do you have for me? Pray about that. It could be a time for you to grow and for God to do great things in your life. The empty nest years, like every stage of life, are to be lived in faith. Our Heavenly Father desires for us to trust in Him, come what may. As our children stretch their wings and take their first wobbly flights, we can be comforted by our Father, the one who gave them wings, the one ready to guide them, the one able to catch them should they falter. As for me, I'm going to let them fly, but I'll be there when they need to rest their wings. This is Lorraine Jones, and you've been listening to 15 Minutes of Good News, sponsored by Baptist Memorial Hospital.
The It's All Good podcast, hosted by Lorraine Gossett Jones, sponsored by Baptist Memorial Hospital, delivering the promise of quality health care.
At the Baptist Cancer Center in Union City, a low-dose CT lung screening can identify cancer at its earliest, most treatable stages. If you are a current or former smoker, you may qualify for a screening. If you are age 50 to 77, currently smoke, or have quit within the last 15 years, have at least a 20-pack year history of smoking, please call the Baptist Cancer Center in Union City at 884-8611 to learn more. Get better with Baptist.